All right, let's go to John chapter 8. I had about made up my mind to just move on, but let's go to the last verse of John chapter 8. We'll read that, and then we'll probably move on to chapter 9 next week. I'm looking forward to that. Chapter 9 of John is a very good chapter. Here in the last verse of John chapter 8, this is what we read. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The end for them. They took up stones to stone him. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good Sunday school lesson. Thank you for the good song we just heard and the songs we sang together. Thank you, Lord. All a blessing today and encouragement to our hearts. Pray you'd bless your word now as we look at it for a few minutes in this simple little message. I pray you'd help us to be clear. I pray that ears would be open to hear and hearts to receive today from you what you'd have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't have a lot of time to study this morning and or last night, so a lot of things going on this week. So I hope that, but I've got something here that I want to give to you and I want you to think about. It's real important matter, and you know, I can't help it. I preach in a way that it applies. I don't believe in preaching messages that just entertain people and make everybody happy and try to build some great, pep rally every time we have church and all of that. It's not in me to preach like that. And if what I preach doesn't apply to you and do some good, then I've done you no good. I've actually done you harm.
That's right.
And I found that that kind of preaching is not real popular. I would think it would be. Everybody says they want to go to church and get help. I've heard a lot of people testify about, boy, I really got help there. But it seems like people just don't really want it. Jesus tried to help these people.
Yes, he did.
That's all he did. And we're in chapter 8. It's been going on all the way through. But in this chapter, dealing with this set of Jews, and he's tried to help them. Gently, lovingly, but firmly and truthfully, he told them some things about themselves, about himself, about God, and where they were at. God the Father, God the Son, the devil, and these people, God, he dealt with all of them in this chapter. They were offended. They took up stones to cast at him in the end of this. They're arguing and accusations progressed, and they always do, into violence, into hostility and hatred toward Jesus. I found this too, that there's very few people that really want to know what's right and true as it applies to them. They want to know what's right and true so they can apply it to other people, but they don't want to know what's right and true to be applied to them. That's what these guys' problems are. They're all about righteousness, but their view of righteousness. And they're all about righteousness as long as they can impose their view of it on somebody else. It never applies to them. You know, Jesus had to get to the point where he said, your father is the devil. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say to you? He had to take it to that level of clarity and confrontation, and it still did not get through to them. They didn't believe a word of that. We're Abraham's children. No, he said, your father is the devil. And it still didn't do him any good. All it did was elevate the hostility and hatred toward him. His gentle but plain rebukes had been met with increased contempt and hatred. And that's the way it always is. Don't argue with people. I quit that a long time ago. I don't argue with people. You know, it's pointless. There's never a winner. Because people don't argue in order to find the truth. People are arguing in order to vanquish and come out on top and be the victor, to squash somebody else in order for them to shine. That's what arguing is about. Don't participate in it. Give it up. I'm telling you, you'll end up being the loser. So don't argue. Now Jesus, as I've pointed out through this chapter, he was not arguing with them. They were arguing with him, but he wasn't participating in their argument. They would say some, outlandish thing, and he would answer with, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, shall never see death." And then they'd jump right back on and start accusing him. You see, he wasn't contending with them. He was just trying to get them to see the truth about him, about God, about themselves, and where they stood before God. They wouldn't have it. These people are deceived about themselves and about who he is and about God's attitude toward them and their standing before God. They're Jews. They're Abraham's children. They think because of who they are and who their fathers were that they have some special standing before God, that they're automatically accepted and treated as God's children by God because of who they are. Now, y'all know that ain't true, don't you?
Yes.
Every man shall give account of himself to God. Doesn't matter what family you came from, or what school you went to, or what nation you belong to, or the color of your skin, or whatever. None of that makes any difference. Every man's going to give account of himself to God. So every man's responsible to know the truth then, isn't he? You're responsible. We all are. If we're going to give account, then we're responsible. In other words, you ought to be learning now. You ought to be finding the truth now. And you ought to be believing it, accepting it, and applying it to your life. How different would it have been if these people here, these Jews, would have just listened to what he said and considered it? If they would have stopped long enough, if they'd have laid down their pride long enough, if they would have just shut their mouth and listened to his wonderful words of life and his wisdom that was divine, if they would have just done that, how much greater would have been their chances of knowing the Lord and understanding. But they had their shield up and their weapons drawn, and they wouldn't receive the word of God from God himself, because they thought he was a man only. That's important. I'm going to get to that. But in their minds, they're not resisting or being contemptible toward God, but toward this man who says he's speaking for God. See, that is the problem there. They said, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter? I mean, don't we know him? He's just a man. What is he saying all this stuff for?" And because it's coming from a man's mouth, they said, "We don't have to listen to it." You've heard people say they don't believe the Bible because it was written by man. You ever heard that? They sure believed Darwin's stuff, and it was written by a man. In fact, everything they've ever read was written by a man, but they believe all of that. You know, a lot of them believe the aliens are going to beam them up tomorrow during the eclipse. A lot of people that are missing think Jesus is coming. Well, why would he come tomorrow in an eclipse? A lot of people are going to be sitting tomorrow about 2:30, 3 o'clock saying, "What happened?" Nothing happened. In their minds, they're not resisting or contending with God. See, they're talking real harsh to this man they believe is a man, but they're and they're thinking they're dishonoring him. He said, you dishonor me. You dishonor me. Why do you do that? Well, they think he's a man and they think they're better than him. Because everybody thinks they're better than everybody else. And everybody thinks they don't have to listen to anybody else because they know. Well, their proud heart knows. Thinks it knows. It's a common thing for sinful people to feel justified in hating other men while claiming to love and serve God. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to read it in the New Testament. You can go to the Old Testament and find out that God was a God of love and mercy and kindness and grace. All that didn't just come in the New Testament. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. And so, you didn't have to, you know, it wasn't a thing that they did not know. They knew this about God. But they somehow felt it was okay to hate this man, even though he was speaking the words of God, while they claimed to love God. And claim God loves them. Isn't that strange? 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So that's a statement that, I mean, that's 100% true. Fact says it in the Bible. You say you love God, but you hate your brother. Well, who is my brother? Well, you want to go read that story? Who was a brother? Well, the one that did something about it. The one that didn't just live for himself and let the man die in the ditch that had got robbed and everything. Who is my brother? So, well, he's not my Christian brother and he's not my blood brother, so I can hate him. No, you can't. He is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? Has not seen. See? How can you love God and then hate the brother that was made in God's image? How can you not see God in your brother? They couldn't see God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Which of you convinceth me of sin, he said in this chapter. What have you got against me? What can you say? What have I ever done to make you not have any confidence, any trust, any faith in anything I tell you? What have I ever done? Who will, all who reject God and His righteousness do so by rejecting the messenger God sent to them. That's what happened here. Jesus, it says over and over that He came from the Father. And what He's saying is what the Father said. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. The words that I say, the Father's words. I'm speaking to you the words that I've heard of Him. He came and spoke the words of God. And they said, nah, you're just somebody. This is the great error. Y'all listening to me? This is a great error. God puts people in our lives. And you either listen or you don't listen. And most people are not looking for the people that God puts in their life or across their path. They're not looking for that at all. That's the thing you ought to be doing. God spoke to one prophet with a donkey. He speaks in other ways. He can speak any way if we're listening. But people are just not listening. But the main way that He speaks is through other people. He'll put somebody in our lives, somebody across our path. Look here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. All right, now listen to me while we talk about this for just a minute. Angels are messengers. That's what they are. That's what the word means. They're messengers. Angels don't appear so you can take a picture of them and hang it on your wall. Angels don't look like everybody thinks angels look like either. What do angels look like in the Bible now? Not in the Hobby Lobby. In the Bible, what does an angel look like? A man. Never a woman. Never a woman. Now, do you see angels that appeared to men? What did they always do when they appeared to men? They had a message. Gabriel came. Different times. What did he come for? He had a message.
Yes.
Sarah is going to have a child. You know, he came to Joseph and explained the situation there to Joseph.
And to Mary.
And to Mary. Yeah, so anytime you see an angel in the Bible, he appears as a man. Isn't that you think that's a coincidence or insignificant matter? No. Angels are messengers from God, and a messenger has a message to deliver. So the meaning of the verse is that whatever messenger God sends into our lives is going to appear to us to be a man. And almost always it is a man. You understand? You're not getting confused saying I'm saying angels are everywhere and everybody, and we talk to angels and all that. No, I'm just saying to you, what happened here? What have we been talking about? They think they're talking to a man only. They're not talking to a man only. They're not aware. That's why the Bible says here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Pay attention to who God puts across your path. Listen for God's voice everywhere. You know the truth. You're responsible, as we said. We're all responsible. Since we're all going to give account of ourselves to God, then we're responsible to know the truth.
Yep.
So you got a Bible and you got eyes to see. And you can read. Read it.
Yes.
Pray. You can pray and read it and ask for God's help and guidance. And if your heart's honest and you're seeking truth with an honest heart, God is faithful to lead you into all truth. That's what the Spirit of truth is about. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Bible talks about. He refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. So you can know the truth. And the truth will make you free. John chapter 8, we've been through that here also. It's also in this chapter. But there's a great danger that we'll do with the messenger what these blind Jews are doing. They rejected the message from God because they think the message is coming from the mind of another man instead of God. See, that's the big mistake that people make over this book right here. They think that's just a book. And it's just one of hundreds, if not thousands, of versions and translations and all of that. No, sir. Nope, it's not that at all. You're making the same mistake right here. I guarantee you, you won't read this book with an honest heart and seeking God and truth to apply to your life. You won't read this book without it speaking to you.
Right.
You'll find it here. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. The definition of the word entertain might surprise you. I wonder how many of you think you know what entertain means. Webster's 1828 dictionary. Here's what entertain means. Now listen. To receive into the house and treat with hospitality. Either at the table only or with lodging also. Be careful to entertain strangers. Don't run them off. Don't pick up stones to cast at them. Don't threaten them. Don't run from them. Don't be contentious or violent with them. Receive them into your house and treat with hospitality. It also means to treat with conversation. To amuse or instruct by discourse, properly to engage the attention and retain the company of one by agreeable conversation, discourse. You see? Be careful to entertain strangers. It's what I'm saying to you. Be on the alert. Listen for God to help you through somebody. Because that's what He's going to do. If He helps you, He's going to help you through somebody.
That's right.
I could stop right here and just start telling you all the things that I can remember just off the top of my head through my life as a Christian at all the people who've helped me. That's where, you know, not that, and how did they help me? Because they let God speak to me through them. And most of the time, I'm telling you, most of the time, they had no idea. They were just living their life, being real. And they cared and they loved. They loved God and they loved other people, loved me. And God helped me through them. He wouldn't have helped me if I was fighting them. He wouldn't have helped me if I was resisting and contending and didn't want the help and running from it. So the Scripture's instructing us to receive and to keep the messenger of God He has sent us. And not get rid of Him like these people are trying to do. What do they want to do with Him? Well, what's your intent when you pick up stones to cast at somebody? Get rid of them. Shut them up. Silence them. Don't want to hear it. That's what they did to Stephen. What? They gave Stephen a chance to talk for a few minutes. And so Stephen never wasted a word. And they were cut to the heart. And they picked up stones and stoned him. Cost Stephen his life. We say it cost him. No, his reward was just to go on to heaven right now. That ain't so bad, is it? All right. Once again, the fatal error of these Jews was not being willing to listen and to apply the Word of God to themselves. Instead of considering the wonderful truths coming from the mouth of Jesus, they contended with Him and they disrespected Him and they slandered and accused Him. Their contending with the Lord turned into hatred for Him. And hatred leads to the desire to kill. You see, that's why Jesus said, it has been said of old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, he that hateth his brother without a cause, he hath committed murder already in his heart. Hatred is the same as murder because that's where it leads to. Boy, is that the way God looks at this thing? Then everything that leads to fornication is wrong. Everything that leads to drunkenness is wrong. Everything that leads to any kind of sin would be wrong. Yeah. I mean, Jesus would say the same thing. He said it over and over. It has been said of old time, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looketh on a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. So that's the way God looks at it. So we better be careful about these roads we go down. I don't think God looks favorably on us when we just dance around on the very edge of right and wrong. When we play with the things that, I mean, you can't play with fire. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? No. So these things are important, see. They wanted to silence him. They hated him. So the way to silence somebody is kill them. You know, they eventually did that. Did they silence him? No. Did they silence the prophets when they put them to death? When they sawed them asunder? When they burned them at the stake? Did they silence them? No, no. Nope, nope, nope. He being dead yet speaketh. He being dead yet speaketh. They wanted to silence him and to stop hearing the things he was saying. So he obliged them and hid himself from them and walked right through the midst of them and the temple and passed by. I think it's interesting always how the Bible puts the words together perfectly. There's no mistakes in here. And God didn't just randomly arrange those words and phrases. He put them just exactly how they're supposed to be to say exactly what he meant to say and to make us understand exactly what happened there. He obliged them. They picked up stones to cast at him, and it says first, he hid himself from them. He hid himself right there in their presence. First, they lost sight of him. They lost sight of him before he left. They couldn't see him anymore. They didn't know where he was. I mean, they got rocks in their hands. Where'd he go? And he walked through the midst of them. See, that was just something that happened back then. No, he did that more than once. And you know, I was reading a story about John Wesley, and he did that one time. He was preaching to a big crowd of people, and they picked up stones to kill him. And he walked right through the crowd and got away. People in their madness, they go blind. They lose all their senses. They lose all their reason and comprehension, or, you know, there's another word. They're not even there. They're in their madness. And so it's easy for things to happen and them not see right in front of them. He obliged them. They don't want to hear him. All right. You want my voice silenced? You going to do it them rocks? No, you're not. I'll just stop talking. If you hate me, if you're going to be violent against me, then you're not going to hear from me. If you're going to contend with me, if you're going to resist these words that I've been trying to, these promises of escaping death, then I just won't, you won't hear from me again. It says he walked right through the middle of them, the midst of them, and then the temple. He went out of the temple and passed by. You know, how does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, I kind of see him just, he done went out of the temple and then just passed by again and, you know, looked at him as he left. And they're in there not knowing what happened. They don't know what happened. That's the way it is. That's what happens to people.
Yes.
I've seen it happen to people, y'all. People just, they're so stuck on theirself, and they're so proud of theirself, and they're so sure that they're right, and they miss God completely. And God just, yeah, right there in their midst, but they can't see him anymore. And then they don't hear him anymore. And then he's gone from their life and their presence. So the first thing was that they couldn't see or hear him, even though he was still in the midst of them. The next thing was that he went out from them and passed by. He stopped talking to them and was not found of them. He'll speak to you if you listen. If you say, I'm not listening, he ain't speaking. Don't think God's going to hound you to death. And don't think that God's going to chase you all over creation when you're running from him and when you're hating him and wanting to be rid of his voice. You ever read these testimonies of people? You ever read the little book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity? There's another one. I forgot the name of it, but we've got both of those books. Do everybody good to read them once in a while. Just, you can't stand to read the whole thing at once. You ought to open it and read a little bit once in a while. And you read about these people who cried out at one point in their life, God, leave me alone! God left them alone. And then when they're dying, they can't find him. This is a sad way to end up. How could it be a worse end than being to where you couldn't hear God's voice anymore? Why do you think the Bible says twice in the New Testament, today, if you hear His voice? Today, if, I-F, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Because He's not always there. Why does it say, seek the Lord while He is near? Call upon Him. While he can be,
while he's nigh.
So then he must not always be nigh. Now here's how that works. Now they would hear no more the words of life. Never again would they wonder at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They've heard him, but they'll not hear him anymore. They were left with turmoil in their hearts, and bitterness, and the emptiness in their souls, and nowhere to turn from it all. You got to sit and think about that. One minute they're railing, and they're, you know, he's a devil. He's a Samaritan that has a devil. He's a born a fornicator. They're saying all these stuff. And then the silence they wanted, they got. Don't have to listen to him anymore. You don't want to hear from God? God just won't talk to you. You know, I'm kind of that way myself. I don't know about you, but people that don't want to talk to me, I don't try to force myself upon them. If they make it clear they don't want to see me, don't want to hear me, they ain't going to hear me or see me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be that way. God don't do that either. They rejected God. And when they rejected what this man had tried to explain to them about who they were and who God is, they rejected God when they rejected what Jesus said. Get it? It wasn't another thing they did down the road when they said, we're not. No, no. To what you say, we say no. They rejected God at that point. It was God speaking to them. God sent the messenger. And they said, we'll not listen to any of his words like they did to Jeremiah. God said, okay. Jesus had offered them the only way to have victory over death. But they loved their sin and themselves so much that they rejected the only hope that will ever be offered to them. We talked last Sunday, you know, Resurrection Sunday. Death is because of sin. And you can't deal with death without dealing with sin. And there's where you run into problem with men. They love Resurrection Sunday and they love to talk about resurrection and being resurrected someday and hallelujah, but they don't want to talk about the cost and the reason and what had to be done and what has to be done in your life. Your sin has to be dealt with if your death is going to be dealt with. If you expect to escape death, and what we mean by that is to be resurrected and live with the Lord and not be cast out into the outer darkness, which is the second death, then your sin has to be dealt with. And that's what's going on here. And that's why it doesn't fly with people. They want the promises and they want the blessings, but they don't want nothing messed with in their life. They've got it figured out. And what I'm right, and what I do, I got a right to do. And what I do is right for me. And so leave me alone. If you got anything good to give me, I'll take it. But I don't want that stuff. And that's what's happening right here. And when you do that, you reject God. Because God puts an if with it. This is what people still do with God and His message to man. The truth plainly spoken, will have this same effect on most people still. That's what I've found out in preaching. You know, there's a lot of people listening to me preach that are not here now. But it hasn't always been that way through the years. And I've found that people, the way to clear out of church, just start preaching. Yeah. Preaching the whole truth. A lot of churches call themselves full gospel. Well, I hope it's full gospel because that's what it takes. You can't just tell them about a little trick they can do to make heaven their home for eternity.
Right.
Say this prayer. You know, make this confession. Sign this card. Come to church once in a while. None of that, no. When you really start dealing with the selfishness and the hatred and the contending with God in their heart, then you find out that what it's like to really preach the gospel. You find out just like Jesus did. A couple of chapters back, what happened? There's a multitude listening. What happened to them? They all turned and walked away. All of them. When Jesus was at the cross, how many of these people who had heard him, how many of the lepers and the blind men and all of the others that he'd healed and the lame, how many of them were there supporting him at the cross? Most are like these Jews and hiding behind the religion, which is a personalized portfolio of what they have made up for themselves from the different ideas and practices they've picked up along their way. Y'all, did you listen to what I'm saying? They're hiding behind their religion. Most people now, that's what they're doing. Hiding behind their religion, and it's just like their portfolio that they've personally made up for themselves. You know, all these financial people and everything. I don't have any of them, but I know what it is. Your portfolio, you know, everybody's got their portfolio with all their investments and all of their, you know, and it's theirs, their personalized portfolio. That's the way religion is too. Everybody's made it that way. They've got ideas from here and a few from here, and they like this, but they don't like that about them, and they like this about these people, but they don't like that other, and so they take from here and they take from here. They take from here and there and everywhere and make it up themselves. What they think's the perfect way. And then they go to looking for a church, for somebody that'll preach and support them in every detail of their religious portfolio. And they don't ever find it because it doesn't exist. There's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. There's one Bible. And this is it that we have here today. And so they're looking for affirmation of their own ways and ideas and grow hostile quickly at any suggestion they could be wrong or lacking in any area of their understanding in life. Been at this for quite a while now, and I've seen it all through the years at the different families and people that I've known that came into churches and stuff, and I'm telling you the truth. This is the way it is. There's different degrees and different flavors of it all, but it's always the same as this right here. I hope you're not here just looking for affirmation of what you already believe. I hope you're here with a heart and a mind that really wants to know the truth about God, about yourself, and where you stand. I mean, you could be in eternity by dinner time before you get home to dinner today. It can happen any time. We've known different folks, quite a few, the last few weeks here, that went out into eternity suddenly and unexpected. And young people. What if they weren't prepared? Don't frittle your life away not preparing for eternity and for to meet God. I want to know as much as I can know. And I want to be as much in the truth, in the way of truth, as I can be. Because I might meet God today. I might stand before God today. So don't go looking for affirmation of what you already believe. And I know what I believe, but let me tell you something, and I've said this to you many times. Everything is on the table. I can be deceived about something. I can have a wrong concept about something. And if I do, I want to know. I don't want to get before God and God say, why didn't you know this? I didn't know. You could have known. It was, I've been in church and heard this over and over through the years, you know. Somebody say, I've been going to that church for 20 years and I never heard that preacher preach on that. And he preached on it last week.
Yes.
And I've been there and I've heard it different times. And they say, I never heard him say nothing about that. You weren't listening. You didn't go there to listen. You went there to get support for what you already believe. We used to sing with the kids on the bus, God's still working on me. And for most people now, he's done with them. They have arrived. And then they'll stand and say, nobody's perfect. Sinners contradict themselves, oppose themselves. All right, let me hurry up here. Let me just skip some things and get on down here. It's common now for people to literally... it's not common for people to literally pick up stones to stone somebody, but it's for this kind of stuff. But it's common for them to hate and try to destroy someone they disagree with. Yeah. And beware, lest the consequence of that is that the Lord hides himself and walks away from you. John chapter 8, back up there in verse 21. Here's what Jesus said. It's kind of like... a prophecy of what's coming at the end of the chapter. Listen to this. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Jesus had just said this to them a few verses above. And they picked up stones to cast at him, and he hid himself and went through the midst of them and left. And he had just said, I go my way, and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. It's not because his mercy ran out. His mercy is renewed every morning. God doesn't run out of mercy. God doesn't get sick and fed up with you and just throw you away and say, I'm done with them. That's not God. And that's not the way this thing works. He doesn't stop talking because he's angry and offended and just won't talk to you anymore. He stops talking because you won't listen. You know, this is how it works. It's not because his mercy ran out or his grace was insufficient or that he was angry and couldn't be appeased. It's because their hearts were set and hardened. And in his wisdom and understanding, he knew that they would never turn from their hatred and opposition to him. See, God knows that. If they will or not. They made their choice. That's a right with which he had created them. And so since they rejected him, he left them alone. He created us with that ability, that right, if you will. He gave us that choice. We can choose. And we do choose. Every man chooses. Every woman chooses. And when you end up in heaven or hell, that's the issue right there. He cried to Israel, choose life. Why will you die, O Israel? Why? Here it is, laid before you. Moses said, I've put before you this day life and death. Choose. Well, choose life. Choose the truth. Choose Jesus. Say yes to him. Open your ears, your heart, your mind, your life to him. We better keep our distance from anyone who contends with God, contends with his word. These Bible deniers, these smart alecks that think they can pick apart this book and tell you what part's right and what's wrong. I ain't listening to nobody like that. I ain't reading after nobody like that. I can read, and I can read this book, and so can you. And I don't need anybody who thinks they're smarter than God and smarter than anybody who's ever lived through all these years. It's one thing that I remember in my mind back when I was full of doubts and wobbling, wondering which way to go in life with God and all of that. And, you know, I'd read a whole bunch of junk from this world and I didn't know if there was a God or not. And the thought occurred to me. I remember the thought going through my mind. Do you think you're smarter, you little punk, than all of the wise people who've lived through all of the centuries who were far more educated, more intelligent, more knowledgeable than you? You think you can make that decision and discernment with your little brain? I remember thinking that. That made a very profound impact on me. I believe that was God speaking to me.
Yes. Amen.
I remember. Changed my course.
Yes, sir.
Made the river start running the other way. The other direction. Yes. We better stay away from people than contend with God. We better crucify our pride and our selfish tendencies, lest we end up like these blind Jews. Pride. It's a whole other message, but I'm telling you that's where the problem lies. One more thing. We better take heed to the things Jesus said, and we better be listening for His voice and the voices of those He sends into our lives to help us on this journey. You find somebody that helps you, you better stick with them. And if you find somebody that's hindering you, you better get away from them. Amen. And we all stand. Let's all stand. Amen. I appreciate everybody being here today. Please pray for Dan. Pray he get better today. Don't want to go to the hospital because it's pointless, really. They just won't do anything on the weekend and all this other stuff are going on. Even the doctor told us Friday, she said, we need to do whatever we're going to do because this weekend and Monday said there ain't going to be nothing working. So pray for Dad. Pray for me this week. All right. Let's bow and we have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for this good Lord's Day. Thank you for this service we've had. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for all the truths that we've talked about today. And Lord, the message, I pray it would be received and applied in each of our lives. And help us, Lord, as we go along this journey to get more discerning as we go about this matter. And help us to be listening and looking for your hand in our life through other people. Through things that we can read and get a hold of that'll help us. Please, Lord, I pray you'd guide and direct us on this perilous journey. And I pray this be a help to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.